Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Zach Zaidman.
You know, back in the day, I used to live the life. Not a Bieber life, but
no.
I used to live the life.
Zach Zaidman.
Are you serious?
That's an interesting question, Dave.
Fly the W! Well,
4:32 for the Chicago Wolves update.
4:31.
Approaching 4:32 for the...
Just saw Zach fire an empty coffee cup.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
I thought it was Max Zaidman. I'm sorry.
Chicago Sports Station.
Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving weekend, all things considered. Thank goodness we've got sports to help bring us together in this year, which has kept us all apart. A historic day in sports as Sarah Fuller becomes the first woman to play in a major conference football game, a perfectly executed squib kick for Vanderbilt at Missouri to begin the second half. A pleasant good afternoon to you. Zach Zaidman here until 5 o'clock. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ahead on the show, is Notre Dame the best team in college football? On College Game Day this morning, Kirk Herbstreit called the Fighting Irish the most complete team in the nation, saying he'd rank Notre Dame first in next week's poll after their impressive win at number 19 North Carolina yesterday. We'll break down every angle of Bears-Packers. We'll talk some college basketball and try to give you an idea of what this Bulls season will look like. Got a bunch of guests joining us today, including you at 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you've got something to say, make that call at 312-644-6767. Say hello to our executive producer, Mike Rankin, and he'll pop you on to talk some sports on The Score. At 2:20, we'll talk Bears-Packers with Tom Thayer. Plus, I'll get the former Notre Dame star's thoughts on his alma mater. At 3 o'clock, former Bears college scouting director Greg Gabriel will stop by. What changes can the Bears realistically make with Mitchell Trubisky to get this offense going? At 3:40, we'll talk college basketball with Jeff Levering from Fox Sports and the Big Ten Network. Just how good is Illinois this season and the rest of the Big Ten? Where does DePaul stack up in a strong Big East conference? At 4 o'clock, we'll preview the new-look Bulls with Tony Gill of NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls' first preseason game is less than 2 weeks away versus the Rockets. Then at 4:20, all the latest news from Hallis Hall with Sun-Times Bears beat reporter Patrick Finley. So a lot coming up this afternoon, but I want to start with the 5-5 Bears. There's this notion that the season is already over. And it's not. Now, as ugly as things have been for the Bears during the last four games, and they've been awful, the Bears averaging just 15.8 points per game during their four-game losing streak. Again, as ugly as things have been, though, the Bears can vault right back into the mix with a victory tomorrow night in Green Bay. And I always say that football after Thanksgiving is what separates the contenders from the pretenders. Yet you wouldn't know it by some of what we've read over the last few days. The excuse-making machines are in overdrive. You know, I saw a tweet that said, quote, "I think about the brilliant plays Mitch Trubisky made at the end of that Eagles playoff game, and I wonder where we'd be today if Parkey makes that field goal. We would not be here." Well, I would submit the great plays that Rex Grossman made in 2006 didn't help take him to the next level as a quarterback. And Grossman actually made the Super Bowl. You know, sometimes you are what you are. I saw an article that said, quote, "There's a scapegoat feel to the Bears' benching of Trubisky in certain league circles. Evaluations of Trubisky always were mixed and will continue to be so. But he had won the Bears' first two games this season, including a dramatic comeback in Detroit. Yeah, that same Lions team that is allowing nearly 30 points per game, third worst in the entire National Football League. The article goes on to say, quote, Nagy needs Trubisky more than Trubisky needs him. Trubisky will get another opportunity next season. Now, excuse me, but when did Mitchell Trubisky turn into Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson? I'm sorry, but there are no mixed evaluations by general managers when it comes to Trubisky. As we sit here today, he'll be lucky if he gets the same opportunities that Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota have had this year as backups. Trubisky isn't a guy who was unfairly benched after 2+ games. He was benched after 2+ years of not showing the ability to grow in this offense. Now, in Nick Foles, the Bears were hoping they were getting this year's Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback who helped propel the Titans to a deep playoff run last season after taking over for an ineffective Marcus Mariota. But the Bears don't have the Titans' offensive line, nor do they have the Titans' running back, so the results have been very different. But this isn't the time for big-picture stories, because the season is very much in the balance. Still, there's no powerhouse team in the NFC North. The Packers have had issues closing out games, including last week against Indianapolis. Meantime, the Vikings responded to that big win at Soldier Field with a big loss at home to the Cowboys. And the Lions, well, they're the Lions. Today, they fired both their head coach and general manager. Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn both let go about 30 minutes ago. Now, as for the Bears, we know what they are. They're a terrific defensive team. Only 5 teams in the league give up fewer points than the Bears. At any moment, the Bears are capable of an explosive kickoff return. They've got an ultra-reliable punter and an ultra-reliable kicker to play the field position game. What they haven't had is an ultra-reliable offense, an offense capable of scoring 3 touchdowns a game, because that's all it should take to win games with the way the other two phases are playing for the Bears. This is a Bears team that's allowing fewer than 21 points per game. For comparison's sake, the Packers allow 26 points per game. The problem is, the Bears are scoring fewer than 20 points per game. Fewer than 20 points per game. In a league where nearly every rule favors an explosion of offense, yet only one team is worse than the Bears when it comes to points per game, the New York Jets. And they don't care because they're in a race to draft Trevor Lawrence. Now, we can sit here and make excuses like many seem to be doing in this city. The thing is, though, in football, good teams don't make excuses. You know, people laughed at the Patriots when they were down 28-3 at halftime to the Falcons in the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl the Patriots rallied to win. People laughed at the Raiders when they traded both Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. They're not laughing at the Raiders today. People laughed at the Colts when they had a head coach change his mind after saying yes at the altar. And then they had their star quarterback surprisingly retire during a preseason game. But you know what? They're not laughing at the Colts today. You know why? Because instead of making excuses, those teams found ways to create results despite the limitations. That's what good teams do. This is not the time to start looking ahead to Mitchell Trubisky's offseason or Matt Nagy's job status, or even the future of the man who brought both to Hallis Hall, GM Ryan Pace. No matter what happens tomorrow, no one is getting an extension after the game, and no one is getting fired after the game. Tomorrow is about one thing, finding a way to win, finding a way to win a game that's winnable. Yes, it's in Green Bay, but it's also where the Packers lost to Minnesota and almost got beat by Jacksonville. Yes, it's against Aaron Rodgers, who's 19-5 against the Bears, and this year ranks near the top of the league in every major offensive category. But the Bears are the team entering the game with the elite defense. The Packers have a defense that allows nearly 26 points per game. So you can score on Green Bay, even a team like the Bears, which gets us to the Bears offense. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. 2 weeks in which they've known Trubisky would be back at quarterback with Nick Foles banged up. I get it. Trubisky's flawed. The offensive line is flawed. The offense is flawed. We can sit here and make excuse after excuse after excuse. But remember, here's what the Bears do have. A quarterback who can move and buy his receivers time, including Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and even Anthony Miller when his focus is where it needs to be. Run plays that complement what the quarterback does best. And hopefully, that will complement the defense. Use Trubisky's wheels to move the ball down the field. The Bears have an athletic tight end who can create mismatches with his size and speed in Cole Kmet. The Bears made it a point to make him their top draft pick in 2020. Why not use him? We already know what the Bears look like when they don't. The Bears have a running back in David Montgomery who has shown he can break tackles and fight for every last yard if given a chance. Make play action effective. Find a way to mesh all of that together to put 21 points on the board. It should not be this hard to put 3 touchdowns on the board. Don't worry about running Andy Reid's offense. You're the Bears, not the Chiefs. Trust your defense. Trust your special teams to make big plays and put yourself in a position to change the narrative for at least one more week. It's a week-to-week league, and your whole perception of the Bears will change if they have a big week in Green Bay. So those are my thoughts heading into Sunday Night Showdown at Lambeau. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Up next, Tom Thayer. Zach Zaidman with you until 5 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, Mitch is going to end up, he's going to be our starter through everything as we go here. He's starting for Green Bay.
It's a big opportunity, and I think more than anything, what means most to me is just having an opportunity to come back and be there for my guys when we just need to find a way to win, and however that is. So coming back, it's obviously a big rivalry game, and then us being in the situation we are now, we need to find a way to get in the win column. So I thought we had a great week of practice. Having that bye week and just having a chance to relax and get away from a little bit, I think it allowed us to come back, readjust our mindset and attack practice and attack this week and find a way to get back on track as a team. So being back in the role that I am and being a leader on this team, it means a lot to me to have this opportunity to go into battle with my guys this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it.
Huge game tomorrow night for Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy, and the Bears at Lambeau Field against the Packers. We're about to break it down here on The Score. Zach Zaidman with you until 5 o'clock. Pleased to be joined now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park by Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer. Tom, good afternoon, and we'll get to the Bears-Packers in just a bit, but the big story in the National Football League today, it happened, a little more than 30 minutes ago in Michigan, where Detroit fired head coach Matt Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn after 2 straight seasons under 500. Patricia's record since replacing Jim Caldwell, 13-29-1 since becoming the Lions head coach in 2018. And Quinn's been there as the GM since 2016. The Lions 31-43-1 during his tenure. Offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel will be the team's interim head coach, according to Adam Schefter. What are your initial thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, you know, when you look at the results of the last couple of weeks of the Detroit Lions, I'm not surprised that this type of reaction was so harsh. Because really, when you look at the Detroit Lions and where they were going when Jim Caldwell was a head coach and they removed him from that position and where they're at right now, they're a lot worse off. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that make the assumption that if you're a part of this New England regime, that you are a good coach. But you're not bringing Belichick and you're not bringing Brady with you. So, you know, there's a lot that's left on the table back in New England that doesn't travel to Detroit with you. So, you know, first, you know, to me, I feel bad for Jim Caldwell because I really felt, you know, as an admirer of Jim Caldwell, but, you know, the type of person he is, the coach he was, and what he had Detroit, you know, and the direction they were going, I felt that he was treated unfavorably, and I'm not really surprised of the results of the, you know, the Patricia hiring and firing.
Yeah, for those that don't remember, Jim Caldwell was fired after the 2017 season following back-to-back 9-7 years, and clearly the program has gone backwards since Matt Patricia became the head coach, the big reason why the Lions deciding to clean house. But you know what? When you look at the organizations around football that continue to clean house, you know, I know you can justify it in this case because you weren't seeing any progress, but it's really tough to move forward as an organization if every few seasons you continue to bring in two completely new people to run your team.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, when you go back and you look at the recent history of Detroit, when they never supported Barry Sanders, they never supported Calvin Johnson, they've realistically never given Matthew Stafford the support that if he had it, what his abilities could mean to that organization. So, you know, I think there's a lot of missteps they've taken along the way, and that's why Barry Sanders retired before his time was up. And so it's just kind of some of the decisions that Detroit has made in the last 20 years have come back to hurt them more than help them.
Talking some football with Tom Thayer here on The Score. All right, and I've got plenty of other questions around the National Football League for you, and we'll get to that a little bit later on this hour. But let's talk specifically about Bears-Packers. And, Tom, let's start with the quarterback change and what you think it'll mean for the offense tomorrow.
Well, it's going to provide the offense a little bit of versatility from the line of scrimmage. You know, Nick Foles is, you know, he's going to capitalize. He's going to look at downfield opportunities, and he's going to fire the ball downfield. But it also changes how the defensive coordinator is thinking about the Bears offense and how you would attack them at that point. Now when you put Mitchell Trubisky back in the lineup and you know, add his athleticism to the position, I mean, he's going to have to prove to everybody that he is improving and throwing the ball. He's improving his decision-making process. He's improving his targeting and that type of ability. But when you look at the start of the play at the line of scrimmage, the defensive coordinator is going to have some contained concerns. And that's the farthest outside rushers are really going to have to change their path from coming right inside to where the quarterback's going to set up to kind of rounding that rush up a little bit. And it helps your offensive tackles, and it also provides a little bit more time for the quarterback. And then if Mitch can capitalize with his legs maybe three or four times at really important moments, it really changes the thinking of the defensive coordinator. So don't sit out there and ask Mitch to do unrealistic things that he wasn't doing at the beginning of the season. Just try to put his legs in motion for enough of a threat where there's concern, and it limits the aggressiveness of them. It maybe takes a rusher out of the line of scrimmage to play some type of spy technique.
Now, are you talking about scripted run plays for Trubisky? And you mentioned just three to four during the game can significantly impact the way a defense looks at you? Or are you talking about just allowing him to freelance a little bit?
Well, you know, I'm going to have running plays in the game plan for him, yes. But I'm talking about, Zach, you know, maybe two or three emergency scenarios, a third and whatever when you convert it with your feet. If even if you have a third and one or a fourth and one and you're able to be a little bit more aggressive with a quarterback sneak or just, you know, variations of types of plays that keep the drive alive. It's those types of instances that I'm thinking about. But I also want to keep him active in the RPO, the run-pass option game. If guys on the edge of Green Bay are not being disciplined about the types of rushes that they're throwing up there, that maybe Mitch can, you know, grab it one time or two times and just kind of, like I said, change their thinking before the ball is snapped.
You know, when you watch video of Green Bay's defense, clearly their vulnerabilities there. I mean, they do give up 26 points per game. Where can you attack them? In is that a strength of what the Bears do offensively?
I don't know. You know, what is the strength of the Bears offense at this point in the season? I don't know if we've seen it. You know, they've been wanting to be a strong running game at the beginning of the season that kind of morphs into a helpful passing game. But, you know, both of those elements have escaped the Bears up until this point. To me, it's the termination and the willingness to repeatedly call runs, even if there's some frustrating runs in the first quarter. And then you kind of build up momentum. Your physical style of play kind of takes a toll against the front of the Green Bay defense. But this is a really good football team. So it's going to be about everybody on offense playing a perfect game. And I know that's impossible, but you kind of have to have your sights set on something like that. Your discipline at the line of scrimmage where you're not jumping offside, or you have pre-snap penalties that have been killing you so far this year. And you got to play the safest, you know, best technical game that you can possibly play, and that's every position. So, you know, the Bears, are they going to come out with some type of new secret at this point? No. They're going to do what they've been doing all football season, but it is about individually performing better, and maybe a wider variety of guys getting involved, and that's Ridley, and that's Cole Kmet, the continuous emergence of Darnell Mooney, and even some quickness plays with Anthony Miller. You have the consistency of Allen Robinson, who to me is a go-to guy. He, you know, I'm going to feed him as much as he needs to be fed, but you know, I think you have to incorporate every moving piece in order to keep their defense off balance.
Talking Bears with Tom Thayer here on The Score. When Trubisky was benched, at that point in time, you know, the focus turns to Nick Foles and what the offense needs to do with him. But you've seen all of Trubisky's games as a pro. When he was benched, in your mind, what did you think he really should spend the next few weeks working on A, B, and C? And now that he's been installed as the starter again, what does he need to do just a little bit better? Because as you said, you're not going to change the entire world in the middle of a season. But what is realistic for him to do just a little bit better in order to help the offense get back on track just a little bit more?
You know, my hope always for Mitch going into this season and even right now is trusting himself and trusting his vision. Because, you know, when you run a football play at the quarterback position, you don't get a chance to set your feet, confirm, load, and then throw. It's being able to anticipate the whereabouts of receivers. And there's guys like Allen Robinson, you can trust them to be in the exact right spot every single time that you need him to be there, just like a guy like Jimmy Graham. But that's what he needs to develop with the other group that I mentioned, the younger cast and crew that he hasn't had tons of game reps with yet. However, Mitch has to believe in Mitch. He has to understand when he calls a play in the huddle, he knows exactly how it's going to work out from snap to whistle. And if he can have that type of trust in himself where he's getting the ball out of his hands maybe a half a second to three quarters of a second faster, which it's an entirety in terms of a football play, then I do think that he can become more threatening by throwing the ball and then give the running game better and bigger opportunities. But to me, it's all about Mitch trusting Mitch.
Do you feel like the Bears trust Trubisky to use his legs more. And granted, it seems as though the last couple of seasons, when they've allowed him to use his legs, he ends up getting banged up, and it creates a big issue. But when your season is on the line, like it is tomorrow night at Lambeau, don't you just have to let a guy do what he feels most comfortable doing?
Oh, 100%. You got to play however you feel, Mitch. If you feel the pressure and you need to run, then run. Hey, listen, and I don't need you to have these runs to the finality of being tackled. If you want to run beyond the first down marker, you want to get me plus yards per play, and you want to slide so you never have another body touch you or you don't have to hit the ground awkwardly, I'm all for that. You know, it's about Mitchell Trubisky and this offense being able to be as aggressive as they possibly can, but they also have to score and have time consumption that's attached to it, because I don't think that you're going to go and, you know, have really small increments of time per drive, give the ball repeatedly to Aaron Rodgers, and think that you're going to be able to go to battle with them. It is about everybody on the offense living up to their end of the bargain, and when you call a play, no, there's a couple different variations in the huddle. Get to the play that best fits that exact scenario. And then, however, you got to get the ball out of your hands throwing it, if you have to run it or if you have to hand it off to one of the running backs. So, the offense is still going to be multidimensional. It's just going to be about the correct decision at the correct time.
You know, I'm really interested in finding out defensively what the Bears can do to make life a little bit more difficult for the Packers offensively, because it seems as though you see the stats, you watch the video. It seems like they've been having their way from an offensive standpoint with opponents. Where do you see some vulnerability in what the Packers do offensively, if any?
To me, the Bears had a nice job of developing a full cast and crew up front. And, Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols and Mario Edwards Jr. and Brent Urban and all the other defensive line components they have up there, Khalil and Quinn and those guys. But if you can keep as many fresh bodies at the line of scrimmage as possible and you can repeatedly give an effort that is super challenging to your offensive line, maybe you're going to challenge the fundamentals of the offensive line like Green Bay did to the end of the Indianapolis game last week. 5 holding calls on the last drive of the game, 9 in the game. So I do think that you have a powerful guys in there to be able to dominate some of these offensive linemen, to put that uncertainty in the mind of Aaron Rodgers in terms of feeling the pressure. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is in control of the game. He's in control of the offense. It's really hard to, get him a little bit off kilter because he's such a great player. But if you can challenge the offensive line on your way to Aaron Rodgers, I think that's the way that you can be the most disruptive against this offense.
And it still comes back to the Bears offense, because they need to play complementary football to assist the Bears defense, because of how high-powered this Packers offense is. And that's why the stuff that you talked about earlier, being able to sustain drives, not giving up on running plays, even though early on in the game it may not go your way and you may see negative yardage, the key is to continue to stick with that so you can bust out that one big play and trust your special teams to be able to flip the field for you, as opposed to creating more issues with your offense.
Zach, you're exactly right, because if you become one-dimensional in Lambeau Field on the offensive side of the ball, you are, signing your own notice there. It's because if you just want to turn this group of guys into pass rushers exclusively, it's going to be really tough to hold up to the protection needed to take away some of the, he's not a big blitzer in Green Bay, but he is willing to blitz and bring different bodies from different levels. So, like you said, the most important element to the success of this game is how well the Bears offense plays. You would think it's about all about the defense, but that's just not the case. So complementary football is needed, but it's going to be interesting because with no crowd noise, Zach, you are going to be in charge of the line of scrimmage vocally by Mitch, but it's also going to be the discipline of the defensive line not to get caught up in listening to the cadence of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's been a master manipulator of that, and we've seen him do it even when he's on the road. He just has this ability to play with defenses, and like you said, he's always in control of the game. But I want to get back to what you were talking about, Trubisky, in that situation, the Bears' offensive line. It seems like every week, and this could be the case tomorrow night, because we don't know what Charles Leno Jr.'s status is going to be entering that game, they, again, may have a different look to the line because of injury. How do you get guys to be on the same page? And now you bring in another quarterback into the mix. How do you make sure that everyone is on the same page? Because it's critical to winning football games.
Yeah, but this is such a unique year, Zach. Everybody's used to being shuffled in and out of the lineup. Everybody's had reps. Everybody knows the cadences. And it is about just having that command inside the huddle, Mitchell Trubisky, that you get the information out there, and then you make sure everybody breaks the huddle with the understanding of what the cadence is. And a lot of time, I know, there could be a shift of cadence at the line of scrimmage depending upon what the quarterback sees or if he makes a play change. However, that's part of the discipline that you face from the beginning of your career as an offensive lineman and Pop Warner into the last day you ever play the game. And so, yeah, I mean, it's something that the coaches preach to every segment of the team the night before the game and the day of the game, is about, you know, break the huddle with discipline. Understand your cadence, understand your assignment, and then be able to execute at full speed. And, it, you know, that's what's going to be one of the most helpful elements of growth of this offense, is just discipline after you break the huddle.
Tom, I'm going to ask you to stay through the break, because when we come back, I want to ask you about your alma mater. There were some
Joliet
big...
Catholic?
Not that one. Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
Because the Irish were heavily praised on College Game Day today, and Kirk Herbstreit said something very interesting. I want to run it by you when we come back. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're talking some football on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Here until 5 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Lucky enough to be talking some football with Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer here on The Score. And we're spraying to all fields. We'll get his thoughts on Notre Dame in just a sec. Plus, I want to ask you about what has transpired in Baltimore, a very serious situation. But before we do all that, Bears-Packers tomorrow night. In our last segment, we broke down the X's and O's part of the game. As a player, when I say Bears-Packers Lambeau Field, what are the different memories that flood into your head?
If you talk from the career from when I was playing, we never lost to the Packers, so it was always, you know, there's still the respect of playing Green Bay as an opponent, because Coach Ditka, he constantly preached about his appreciation for the organization, for the people that are involved in that organization, for the quality of football that's always been playing stuff. But it's just like what we've been facing for the last 20 years through the Favre and Rodgers era. You know, we were kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum during our time there. So, and Green Bay was also going through a transition of from the old school bowl to the development. So we went part of the time in the locker room to the part of a time in a locker room that was in a mobile home. So, and then when I got there, you actually walked through the concourse of people on your way to the ramp to go to the field. So if you were going out there and you actually walked through the crowd. And so there were times out there where they would either have to hold up chain link fences so to get the team through that concourse with more immediacy, or if you had to go out there early to snap punts or something, like I said, you're walking out of the locker room through that concourse, and you've been there plenty of times to know the length of that walk until you got to the down ramp. So it was kind of a different atmosphere, the old Lambeau Field. Now you go through the locker room, you go underground, and you go right to the field surface. So it was a lot different back then.
I think the coolest part, and for people who haven't been up to Green Bay to see Lambeau Field, it's no different than Wrigley Field. It's in the middle of a neighborhood, and it just pops up out of nowhere as the buses come in. And you were lucky because you never lost to the Packers. So that must have been an interesting bus ride each time as you were leaving Lambeau following a victory, the things you must have seen. Because I know in the last few years, when I was on the Bears sideline, we saw some interesting things, win or lose, on the way out. The things you must have seen in the 80s, whew, I can't even imagine.
It was predominantly Green Bay fans back then, because that was before all these ticket-selling websites came into vogue. So the people that were in the stands in Lambeau were pure, true blue Green Bay fans, through, you know, thick and, you know, just thick as ever. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there was never appreciation of, you know, friendly waves as the five buses were driving to the airport. You know, there was... You know, a lot more salutes to the buses than there were, you know, friendly hand gestures of, you know, thanks for coming in here. And I'll see you later.
It could be a little different tomorrow in the environment that we're all trying to survive right now with this COVID-19. Speaking of which, I do want to get your take on what's happening in Baltimore, because, you know, earlier this week, the Ravens released a statement saying that they had disciplined a staff member for conduct surrounding the recent COVID-19 cases that have impacted players and staff with the Ravens. And then Thursday, multiple sources told the Baltimore Sun that the head strength coordinator, Steve Saunders, was the staff member punished, that he had not routinely worn that proximity tracker required by the NFL for contact tracing or reported potential COVID-19 systems as he worked with the players. And that's the last the Ravens are commenting on the situation, but already twice the game has been postponed. The latest, they're hoping to play in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. How can this happen, given how serious the NFL and the people in the league are taking the coronavirus?
Well, you know, still, when you look at the big picture of the entirety of the population, not 100% of the people take it seriously, and some people just go about their business without precautionary measures at all. I can't tell you how destructive it is when you're talking about being one of the few members that are inside the team atmosphere now that the NFL is taking these extra protocol measures to try to keep the team safe. It's an incredible that that just, you know, people don't understand what they're trying to accomplish, and there's only a short period of time left. And I feel bad for the people that have got affected by the coronavirus just because of the neglect of some of the personnel that get an opportunity to walk in that facility every day. And I guess, to me, if you are expected to wear a tracking device and the first time we lost contact with it, you would be shut off at that instant. So there wouldn't be a lot of negotiations anymore as to where were you, why didn't you have this device on, and all the other questions that got to be surrounding every instance of uncertainty and the whereabouts of you as a player or a part of the staff.
And I know the Steelers were extremely angry, and now they have some issues that they're dealing with on their squad. There were some people that were saying the Ravens should be forced to forfeit. But remember, a forfeiture means that no one on either team, either the Steelers or the Ravens, would get paid because a game has not been played. So that's why I don't think it's realistic to expect that to happen. And it's such an important divisional game. Plus, it's on national television. They're going to play this game at some point, but I just cannot believe that a coach, of all people, on a squad would be that careless and that reckless in his actions. All right, before we let you go, go ahead.
But I agree 100% with you there, but, and this is, you know, my naiveness is I'm such a football fan that I look forward to the game on Tuesday. And so I do hope they rectify everything that's going on within the Ravens. And I know they do have some issues on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I do hope that it all gets settled and they are able to play on Tuesday, because given the uniqueness of this season, that's some of the opportunities we got this have this year is professional football on a Tuesday.
Our final few moments with Tom Thayer here on The Score, and let's talk about your alma mater, not Joliet Catholic, although, again, whatever Joliet Catholic does is outstanding and fantastic, and I don't want to take anything away from them. But I do want to talk about Notre Dame, because I don't know if you saw College Game Day today, Tom, but Kirk Herbstreit said, and he called the game yesterday in Chapel Hill, and he said that Notre Dame is the most complete team in the nation, and that he would rank the Fighting Irish first in next week's poll after that impressive victory against the 19th-ranked Tar Heels. Your thoughts?
Wow. You know, you get the Auburn or the Alabama-Auburn game that is just getting ready to kick off, and, you know, having what they've gone through throughout the season. I mean, Alabama, it's hard to ignore those guys. Well, however many games they're going to have the chance to play or not play. I do think it is the most complete team Notre Dame has probably had in the last 10 or 12 years. When you talk about the role and the importance and the quality of the quarterback play, the definition of big receivers that can catch the ball, a dominating offensive line that they have years of service now together, and they have speed to match it on the defensive side of the ball. So, in terms of being a complete football team, I do think it's true about Notre Dame. Are they the best team in the college football? I think Lawrence from Clemson would have a disagreement with that, but I think Alabama would like to put their hat in that negotiation also.
You know, because we've seen this. Brian Kelly has done a really good job over the last few years of putting quality teams on the field and getting them deep into the season and into the college football playoff, only to have it look awful against those SEC schools where, you know, the speed on the outside for those teams hurts Notre Dame. But this is a weird year. So is there enough on the Fighting Irish to control the game with your strengths as opposed to allowing the speed of those SEC? And I consider Clemson an SEC team, even though they're in the ACC with the kind of talent that Dabo Swinney gets. They're very similar to an SEC football team. Can Notre Dame neutralize what those other schools do?
Yes. You know, and a couple of reasons why, because I think they can do a lot at or near the line of scrimmage. At or near the line of scrimmage, that is a real powerful offensive line-driven running game that has really good blocking from the tight end position. So you're going at the zero point of attack, which is right over the center, all the way out into the 8 and 9 holes, which is outside shoulders of the offensive tackles. And because your tight ends are such good blockers that they can really help you inside and outside, and then the ability of the tight ends to be able to catch it in that intermediate area where you don't have to sustain protection too long to get it into their hands, I think there's a lot that Ian Book has a lot to work with.
Yeah, you saw LeBron James on Twitter yesterday, Tom. He tweeted that he was enjoying watching Notre Dame play, and then Brian Kelly tweeted him back. So clearly, the Irish are catching the eyes of sports' biggest stars, which is a good thing. And as I texted you during the game the other day, I said, man, you know, if the Bears could establish the kind of running game we've seen consistently from Notre Dame this season, they'd be the best team in the NFC North.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the goal of every football team, is to be able to have just the ability to count on something that's going to work every week, and that is the running game and the power of the offensive line. And it's nice to see that LeBron and I have a lot in common, where we're both just hanging out watching college football.
You'll have a lot in common tomorrow night. I'm sure you'll be watching the Sunday night football game. So will you. You'll be calling it. Good luck on the call with Jeff tomorrow evening. Bears, Packers at Lambeau Field. Mitchell Trubisky back as the starting quarterback. Tom, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, you too, Zach. Thanks a lot.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving weekend. Tom Thayer with us here on The Score. Let's take a break. When we come back, why is it that there are so many successful young quarterbacks in the National Football League? Greg Gabriel knows. As the former Bears director of college scouting, he has a unique eye for this kind of stuff. We'll ask him next, right here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.